You are now listening to Carly's Couch.
I'm Carly.
And I'm Lex.
In this podcast, we discuss a wide array of topics about life and how to live your best life.
Whatever that looks like for you.
Hope y'all enjoy.
Hey, everybody. This week on Carly's Couch, we're speaking with Doctor of Physical Therapy, Josie Duncan.
Welcome, everybody, to Carly's Couch. Thanks for listening. Today, as you heard in the intro, we have an incredible guest with us today, Dr. Josie. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. How are you guys doing today?
Good, good. Carly, how are you?
I'm a little sleepy today, but it's nice because it's like sleepy weather outside. I'm laughing because if y'all are watching the video, when Josie first hopped on, she had a background and then she took her background off and her house is, or whatever, is just as nice as the background that she had on.
Oh, I thought that was another background.
No, yeah. Girl, that's her crib. Or wherever she is. But we'll get into that a little bit later. First, I want to introduce her to y'all. Josephine Duncan, Doctor of Physical Therapy, is a licensed pelvic floor physical therapist and founder of Functionally Flawless Design. With a passion for women's health and holistic living, she helps clients heal from the inside out, restoring physical function while curating environments that feel as good as they look, like her background. Josephine merges her clinical expertise with her creative vision to empower others to thrive in both body and space. That's a great bio.
Thank you. Thank you guys for having me. I'm excited to be here and honored. So thanks for bringing me on.
So Josie, my first question is, now that we heard your bio, tell us what you do, as if you're just talking to, you know, your everyday person.
Okay. This is funny because I feel like my daughter doesn't even know what I fully do. So yeah. Okay. So most people know what a physical therapist is. I specialize in pelvic floor and primarily women's health. So what that means is I focus on everything below the waist. So if you are having any type of issue in your pelvis, in your nether regions, so you could have like pain, or if you have like incontinence or anything like that, a lot of people think automatically, oh, you talked to your gyno about this, but no, they are specifically for medical issues, not for function. And so that's where I would come in. I'm a pelvic floor physical therapist. So basically anything, if you have trauma after birth or pain or just issues with constipation, and we can even do other gut issues as well. So we can take care of a myriad of things, and we'll get a lot more into that later. But
yeah, when I think of the pelvis, I immediately think of the bone itself. So when you're saying like this whole area, isn't most of our organs kind of fall beneath in that space? And like how did you get interested in just focusing on such a specific part of the body?
So if you think about it, what it actually is like, okay, everyone knows about the bone. So yeah, we definitely can help with bones and like ligament tears and stuff like that. And a lot of trauma happens when you're pregnant and you give birth. But besides the bones, there's a lot of musculature and nerves mm-hmm. in that area. And so if you think of the torso, the pelvis or the pelvic floor is like a bowl at the bottom. If you didn't have a pelvic floor, all your organs would just fall out. So it's very important. It's very foundational. It carries all your organs and it works with your diaphragm as well. And how I got into this is I was your typical ortho physical therapist. And then I got pregnant and I started experiencing my own issues. And so I knew of a pelvic floor therapist, reached out to her, my colleague, and she helped me help myself. And so I became my own, my first patient myself. And from there, I just ran with it. I was like, this is amazing, because the first thing I did is obviously talk to my OB about the pain and the issues I was experiencing. And she was just like, oh, it's normal, you're pregnant. And I was just like,
It's
knowing
never
that,
enough getting those answers.
knowing what I know and being in the medical field and a physical therapist, I knew like, I don't just have to deal with this. I'm not just going to suffer for 9 months, almost a year, and just deal with this. So that's when I reached out, and then I was able to control my pain and manage my pregnancy with pelvic floor therapy. And then afterwards, I was like, okay, I'm definitely going to go into this and specialize so I can help all the other women out there dealing with things like this.
Wow. Okay, I have one more question to help me understand the foundations. Okay, sorry. So, from what you just said now, I feel like the pelvic floor is a muscle, or it's like a whole thing that we need to make sure we have attention on because of the importance and structure and what it does. Is that
Exactly.
right?
So, yes, it is primarily composed of muscles and organs. And then, of course,
Oh,
what,
and the organs. So like all of it is connected.
all of it is connected. The pelvic floor, the foundation is the musculature. The organs sit on top of the muscles, and then the bones hold the muscles in place, if that makes sense.
Wow. I
So.
feel like I'm in Miss Frizzle's class. I'm trying to imagine. Okay, I said I had that was like I'm so sorry, Carly. So
Right.
I'm just trying to understand the mechanics.
It
Okay.
is a little complex, so I get
Well,
it.
it's not, you know what? It's not even that it's complex. It's that I have never thought about, you know, this segment as all together. You know, I don't even know if that makes sense, but I've never thought about it as a specific space to think about like caring for and all of that. And so now that I have a clearer picture of what it is, can we talk about why that space is so important? You mentioned childbirth. You know, we're thinking about, okay, it holds our organs up, but like, what are some of the things maybe that you see where you're like, this could have been prevented, or, you know, stuff that you see a lot where it's like, it's tragic that, you know, whatever mishap has happened with the pelvic floor.
Yeah, and this conversation is really important because a lot of people do struggle with issues in that area, but they just don't talk about it because it's seen as taboo. And like you said, it's not thought about until you have to think about it. So you probably wouldn't think about it until you start leaking or you have fecal
What
incontinence.
starts leaking?
You start leaking urine, or you start
Oh.
leaking bowel movements, or you start having pain with intercourse, or you have pain with sitting down, you have really bad constipation. So things like that, like, bring people to people like me. So they bring people into the thought space of, hey, what is going on over here? And they might go to another provider or their physician about it. And then once they talk to them and they realize, like, pretty much the only thing that they're going to provide you with is medication, that's when you go down the rabbit hole and end up discovering pelvic floor therapy. So it's not just about Kegels, it's about your core. It's about, you know, urination, defecation. It's not just for pregnant women. It's for men too. So a lot of times with men, if they have a prostatectomy or post-op surgery in that area, they can ha start to have incontinence issues either as well. So when I say incontinence, I mean leaking urine. And so a lot of times women, when it comes to that, they just think it's normal, and it's not normal. It's common, but it's not normal. So I'm sure a lot of women who have had children, or just women who are older or middle age or past that point, notice maybe if I cough or if I jump or if I'm exercising, they leak urine, and they don't talk about it because it's embarrassing,
I'm
right?
just laughing because I'm thinking about my own accidents.
Exactly. And
A little
so,
dribble every once in a while.
yeah. And so, because I think we've been taught to normalize it, they just think like, oh, it's just something I have to deal with. And it's not. It's just common, but it's fixable. It's like something that you can fixed within a matter of weeks. And so, yeah, that's why
Which
it's
is
important.
so crazy because I feel like a lot of my aunties and women in my family, like they just accepted, like, oh, that just has to happen. Like life just has to be like this. And that's why I was so excited to talk to you, Josie, and ask you questions about this because I actually have two line sisters who are doctors of physical therapy. So Josie is one and then ZMR is another. And on our recent line trip, they were just talking about their patients, like not their patients, like what's going on with them, but how their days and stuff were going and giving us tips. And I was like, this is so useful because I feel like it's literally something we don't talk about. It's something we don't even really understand. And like yoga teachers are like, all right, squeeze your bandhas and your pelvic floor. But outside of that, people don't know what it is. And so it's a doctor of physical therapy. So do you give people exercises? You said things can be fixed in weeks. Like what do sessions and prescriptions kind of look like for people? Is it exercises? Is it stuff they can do at home? Is it stuff they have to do like at your office with you?
And so this will actually surprise a lot of people because when people think of typical physical therapy, like you're going in there, it's like a gym, you're exercising, you're doing stuff like that. But with pelvic floor, it's much more intimate and it's very different. So a typical, like, I don't know, if you're being seen for a sprained ankle or a torn meniscus, you'll go to physical therapy 2 to 3 times a week for a set number of weeks. You'll do your exercises. You'll have your home program that your physical therapist will give you. And that's the exercises that you're doing at home. And you'll be doing your exercises. The therapist might work on you manually and you'll heal and that'll be the end of it. But when it comes to the pelvis, because it's such a delicate area and there's important organs, your bladder, your uterus, your digestive system, on over that area, typically the care is much more expansive. So, for instance, a plan of care could be months. It could be 3 months. It could be 6 months. Because a lot of times, when you start to experience those issues, it's not like an acute thing. It is something that has been an issue, and it has developed and worsened over time. And because of that, it's going to take time to heal that issue. And so when you come in to see us, you may or may not be surprised that we are going to do an internal exam. And so what that is we're literally going inside the vagina and or anus. And obviously we have the correct PPE and like gloves and stuff like that. But we are examining inside the pelvic floor, and that's the only way you can get inside the pelvic floor is through one of the holes in the pelvic floor. And so we'll do an internal exam. We'll examine those muscles and ligaments. If you have a nerve issue, we'll assess that. And then from there, we'll figure out, okay, this is what we need to work on. Sometimes that can include us working manually on those muscles, but a lot of times it does include lifestyle changes. So we'll educate you, we'll talk about your diet, we'll talk about how much water you drink, things like that that could be affecting your whatever problem. We'll talk about if it's a leakage issue or urgency. Some people have really bad urgency and it makes them like have to race to the bathroom. We'll talk about that and how your brain is signaling your bladder and things like that. And then also there is an exercise component because the pelvic floor is at the bottom of your torso. It is highly connected to your core. They work in concert together. So we can't talk about your pelvic floor and not talk about your core. So there's exercise, there's lifestyle factors, and then there's the hands-on portion of it.
I'm freaking out because I need to look at an anatomy book stat. Because here's my question. No, Dr. Josie, just help me out. Here's my question. Just when I think I got it. So if you go through the rectum, are you not looking at the inside of the intestine? If you go through the vagina, are you not looking at the inside of the organ? Like, what is, how are you seeing the floor? And
So
like, please send some photos after this. I'll do
I
some Googles
wish I
too.
had like my little anatomy. I wish I
I
had.
wish we could just like put the
Oh, I should have
gloves
brought
on
my
and
little
just get
pelvic.
into the room.
Yeah.
Because like what do you
Okay. So
see?
yeah, you're correct anatomically. Yeah, in the vagina is the vagina vaginal canal. In the anus is your colon. Yes, but think about a balloon. So think about, okay, that cavity being like a balloon, and then the entrance of
You
the
could
balloon.
still,
So the balloon is in there. So the balloon is in there, your vaginal cavity and your colon. So it's the tissues that make up those areas are fairly thin to where we can work through them, if that makes sense. So if you have a bowl and you have that through here and the balloon is there, but you're inserting your finger through the balloon, like you're still able to feel around the bowl. Does that make sense? So the bowl.
Yes, I understand what you're saying.
So I'm going through there, but yes, I'm in that organ, but I can still feel around the surface of the bowl. And that's what we're looking at. So we're assessing the bowl that's holding everything up in there.
Okay, thank you for explaining that. That makes sense. And then, so what I would imagine is that you can maybe like feel, if there's something hard there, or unevenness or a weird texture, which then would inform you of the things you said, like you're dehydrated or maybe the muscle's not firm or something like that.
Exactly. So we can immediately feel like, I mean, Carly, I'm sure you know this, like you can tell a tense muscle versus like a loose and a, relaxed muscle. And so it's just like any other muscle in our body where, like, say, a lot of people hold tension up here. That also happens down there, but you just don't think about it because it's not somewhere that you're feeling all the time. So that's also a problem. So a lot of people think like, oh, it's all about Kegels. All I have to do is Kegels and I'm fine. But actually that could hurt you. Like I saw one time I saw a pregnant patient and she was in her third trimester and she had just been doing Kegels because she did her own like Google research and she was just like, yeah, I've been doing this many Kegels every single day. And when I examined her, she was like, her pelvic floor was rock hard. And the typical person might think,
Much.
oh yeah, I want to be buff down there, but no, not pregnant, not when you have to push a human through those muscles. So it's like you're trying to push a baby through a brick wall. Like, so we had to undo all the stuff that she did. So yeah, there's a lot to it.
Okay,
Okay,
so
cool. Go ahead, Lexi.
go
Go
ahead,
ahead.
Carly. I don't remember mine. Go ahead.
Well, I was going to go into asking if a person's habits is what mostly maybe affects the health of your pelvic wall or area, and if it's something that's built up over time because of bad habits, what are some of the ones that we can do or things we can notice about what we are doing, how we're sitting, maybe how we're working out, whatever that people could, learn something from today.
Yeah, it's definitely because of habits. Yeah, there's like some traumatic things, like childbirth is a huge traumatic thing, but usually it's little habits over time that we've done that has caused the dysfunction. So one of those, I would say, kind of like what I described about tense or stress, like all of us are stressed every day. We are in a sitting society, so we don't get a lot of stretch or relaxation down there because we're always sitting and we're stressed. And a lot of people, I think there was a study a few years ago that said, I can't remember the exact numbers, but it was a high percentage, say like 70% of women hold tension in their pelvic floor when they're stressed. So you may think like, oh, like I hold it in my back, I hold it in my shoulders, but really like you probably tense up down there and you don't even realize it. So I had another patient one time, she after doing pelvic therapy, she learned to be more aware of the muscle tone of her pelvic floor. And she was like, hey, I realize when I'm in traffic, I tense my pelvic floor every single time. And I'm like, yeah, that's great. So now that you realize that, you can start to correct it. And so things that you could do if that's your problem is diaphragmatic breathing. And so that's belly breathing and trying to calm yourself, trying to release all the tension in your body. So you could do a body scan. And that is just like basically taking a little bit of time to think about where your body is resting Are you holding tension in your jaw? Are you holding tension in your shoulders? Are you holding tension in your pelvic floor? And just breathing through that and trying to relax any tension in your body at the time. So that's a big one. Another one that we frequently do and we've normalized it is just in case peeing. So like, oh, we're about to go on a road trip. Let's go pee real quick. And I'm guilty of this too, because it's, I mean, our society has, taught us like our bathroom breaks and stuff like that are not important. It's not prioritized. So everything has to work around our schedules.
And we're
So
taught only use your own bathroom at home. That's the biggest
so there's
problem.
that too. Like if you don't like public restrooms, like that can be an issue too. Like holding it too long can be an issue. So like teachers have this really bad because they don't want to like stop interrupt class to use the bathroom. So we see a lot of teachers with problems. And basically when you do that, you're teaching your bladder to like only be able to hold and retain a smaller amount of urine. And so over time it becomes sensitive to the amount that you're holding. So say like your bladder is supposed to hold like this many milliliters of urine, but really you've taught it to hold this much. So every time you fill up to that point, it'll send the signal to your brain like you gotta go pee. And then you end up peeing like 15 times a day instead of, seven. So another
It's
habit.
like when you charge your phone too early. Like they tell you,
Exactly.
wait till your phone actually is low before you charge it, because it's kind of
Yep.
just starting to operate
Change the
at a
threshold.
lower level.
Yes, you change the threshold over time. That's a perfect example, actually. So
That's
And
what made me
it
want to do the
seems like
episode, because she started giving us these tips. And because I was like, oh, I'm gonna go just in case pee. And her and Anzi were like, don't do that. And then it should be
really
according
hard,
to
like
it should be 8 to 10 seconds should be how long the stream is.
so a urine stream. If you find yourself peeing and you're peeing like or just like peeing like really, really fast, like that's another thing that could be an issue. So you want to aim for 8 to 10 seconds urine stream. And that also ties into like your urine threshold. So like if you have a low threshold, if you've lowered your threshold over time, you'll find that your urine stream isn't long. And that's because you are just in case peeing and you're not having enough, you're not holding enough urine, you're not able to hold enough urine to where you're peeing like below 7 times a day. So yeah, 8 to 10 second urine stream. Another thing is just mindfulness or breathing throughout your day, trying to reduce that stress, like I said. And then hydration is huge. 9 out of 10 times, I will see that my patients are not drinking enough water. Everyone's on the go, everyone's busy, and so they're not getting enough water, and that can obviously affect your urine concentration, your diet, but also highly contributes to constipation, which is not good for your pelvic floor. If you are straining and you're trying to squeeze hard stool through your pelvic floor, that's going to create trauma to your pelvic floor. That's going to create hemorrhoids and a lot of other issues that you don't want. And just hydration in general is good for your muscles and your tissues, like your pelvic floor or your lubrication could be lacking because of dehydration. So that's another thing.
Can I? Don't even
Ahead.
know who was about to start
I'm about to say, all
talking.
three of us.
Yeah.
Well, let me let Josie finish her thoughts then.
I was just gonna say one more tip is toilet posture. I don't know who decided, I guess whoever invented the toilet in America, the American toilet, where you're sitting like 90 degrees like this. That is not the most efficient or adequate way to empty your bowels. Basically, your colon has a kink in it. And when you sit like that, the kink stays, so it's harder to empty. But if you sit with a squatty potty or a stool where your knees are raised above your hip bones, that relaxes the kink. to where things can exit easier. So that's like the number one tip I give to everybody who has like issues with defecation and stuff.
Go ahead, Lex.
So.
I'm thinking about things in my own experience and wondering just what relationship it may or may not have to the pelvic floor. And I'm sure a lot of other people and other listeners may be able to identify as well. But I noticed that when I'm in a car, I noticed that my hip will be like on one side, and then like I'm always like a little off balance, but that's like what's comfortable to me. I have to make sure that I like straighten up my body, and it makes me feel like, maybe something is like a little off, or compensating on one side, because also as a runner, sometimes I'll feel things differently on one side of the body than the other. So can you talk about anything that may seem like relevant to that, like the balance of the sides and posture with the pelvic floor?
So that can definitely throw things off if you are posture is huge. And I know like this is something that we've probably been preached to like our whole lives, like posture, have good posture, but like it's literally it will posture can change your body. And that's why casts work. If you think about a cast, if you break your arm, it's keeping your posture in one place so that the bone can heal. So posture can literally change things. So in that example, if you are doing that and that's a habit that you've had for years and years and years and years, and like, even 5 years is enough. Like, if you've been driving and you have that posture, it can change your anatomy. In regards to pelvic floor, it can shorten your hip muscles. And that's the thing. See, because your pelvis is your pelvis, it's attached to your hips. So your hip muscles have a lot of influence on your pelvic floor too. For instance, like if your hip muscles are tight, that tightness can transfer into your pelvic floor. So just because you have tight hip flexors or adductors, your pelvic floor can also kind of receive that tightness. And obviously that's not a good thing. But besides that, you could essentially shorten your muscles on one side of your core by sitting like that for a number of years. A good example of this is I had a patient, he wasn't a pelvic floor patient, a taxi driver. He was an older guy and he had been riding driving taxis for a number of years. And I was seeing him for an ankle sprain, and he talked about he always had his left ankle kind of like turned out while he was driving, because you drive with your right foot, right? And so he just his ankle like that, because that was just like his comfortable posture. Because he did that for so long, it laxed those ligaments, and that's what contributed to his random ankle sprain. So if you think about any position or habitual position that you are in for a long time, for a long amount of time, it can change your anatomy. And I'm even guilty of this. Like a few years ago, I noticed that when I sit on my couch, I would always sit on one of my legs, and it was only that same leg. And because of that, one of my hips are looser than the other hip. Anytime you notice any imbalance in your body, you want to try to balance that out, because it can cause some dysfunction there. So try to break that
Thanks,
habit
doctor. I'll
this
send you a check.
or
No, that's
balance it out.
helpful.
If you do something like that, make sure you do
Switch.
it on the other side too. Like if you
Yeah, I gotta
balance it
figure out my
out,
balance.
okay.
Because maybe the one side is shorter now, like that's why when like I run and I feel it on one side.
Exactly. So just try to balance whatever you're doing out.
Okay, so we talked about so imbalance, just in case piece, really tight pelvic floors. What are some other things that we think are normal, but like aren't normal, and maybe a sign that they need to either change something in their routine or possibly even go see like a doctor or a physical therapist?
Leakage. So I think we touched on this a little bit, but coughing and sneezing and you leaking a little bit, or you jumping and you leaking a little bit. So many people are like, it's normal. It's normal. I'm this age. It's normal. And it's not. So you don't have to like constantly wear a pad and just in case you leak, or if you're like trying to rush to the bathroom and you just like leak a little bit, like it's not normal. It can be fixed and very quickly. So, and that's another one. Something else.
I think you mentioned painful sex too.
Yes, that's a really good one. Like, painful sex in general. So whether it's related to pregnancy or birth or anything like that, like it's not supposed to be painful. So if it is painful and it's consistently painful, you might want to go see a pelvic floor therapist, because it could be that your muscles are too tight. And so if your muscles are too tight, it's gonna cause friction, it's gonna cause discomfort, and we can definitely work on that as well.
And then my last question, how tied are the central nervous system and the pelvic floor? Because you mentioned that you recommend like body scans and mindfulness and breathing. So how tied are they?
They are like this. Like, they are so like close to the point where in the clinic we even have a chart that explains like the nervous system and like the different stages, like fight or flight versus where you should be at rest and relaxed, because literally you changing the way that you're thinking can change how the session is going to go. So I say I have someone I'm seeing for pain with intercourse. A lot of times it could be, a lot of times there's a physical component and there's a mental component. Unfortunately, a lot of that mental component is attached to the idea of sex and how sex is portrayed in their culture or their religion or how they grew up. And it's ingrained to where it is part of their central nervous system and they just completely shut down or get tight. And so we do have to teach you how to connect that brain to body connection and try to retrain your brain and be able to control, the tightness and do the breathing and do the calming. So even to the point where sometimes we prescribe like a relaxed session before you have intercourse. Like, this is just like a session of, 15 minutes where you just take the time, you take a bath, you do some self-care, you do some breathing, you relax your body and your central nervous system so that when it is time to do that, you're not tense and you can have an enjoyable experience. So it's so related.
Any other questions, Lexi, before I transition to her shout out?
No.
Okay, cool. At the end of every episode, we always shout out, and I want to shout you out because Josie is also an amazing interior designer. I love how you mentioned holistic it is and looking at the whole person and creating spaces where we can really relax and feel like ourselves. I'm like, I need to bring you back out here to help me with my spot. But anyways, so can you please tell people where to follow you, what exactly is functional flawless, and yeah, let us know about that.
So, Functionally Flawless is my Instagram name and my brand. I came up with it because obviously I work in the realm of function. And so, whether it's your body or your space, I want you to feel at home and love it and have it functional, no matter what. So that is how I came up with Functionally Flawless. So you can follow me at Functionally Flawless. That is my personal page. And then Functionally Flawless Design is my interior design page. And I also have a website if you are interested in the design. And if you have any questions related to pelvic floor, feel free to reach out to me on my regular page, my personal page, and I will be open. I'm an open book when it comes to this because it's not talked about enough, even though this is not a new profession. It's been around for years and years. It's just now that the conversations are becoming more frequent and more visible. So definitely encourage you to explore the idea. of pelvic floor physical therapy, whether you're a male or a female, because we see both. Men have pelvic floors too. So,
I'm like, I'm gonna add one more question. Besides, would men come to see you for like erectile dysfunction or issues with sex? Like, what
oh.
do they come to see you for?
I personally don't specialize in men, but there's tons of physical therapists that see men and women. And so for men, it's primarily erectile dysfunction or incontinence. A lot of it's related to prostate. So if you've had prostate cancer or surgery or anything like that, that's a huge issue for men who've dealt with that. So you don't have to leak. You can definitely see a therapist and get that under control. But those are the primary things. And we can see men for constipation as well, because that's an issue across the board.
Okay, man. Get
Go see, well,
your
not
stuff
Josie, not
together.
Josie, but go
Right,
see
not we not
pelvic
go see
floor
Dr.
physical
Josie, but
therapist.
we'll see somebody.
Go see
Thank you
someone.
so much, Dr. Josie Duncan, for joining us today. Thank you for the quick education and the interest. I love to learn about these specific spaces. Because sometimes when you dig a little deeper, like that's where you kind of learn something that really can help you. And so it's always good to expand with that. I'm sure the audience will learn something. Leave us a comment, like or review the episode, and go follow Dr. Josie to tell her how awesome she is.
Thank you
She'll
guys.
see y'all next week. Bye,
Bye.
y'all.